Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I'm going to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Ladies and gentlemen, how is everybody doing? It is I, the one and only Motown Maurice. You're listening to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle, Blog Talk Radio, Hollywood Edition. This is November 22nd, Tuesday, 2011, and do I have a guest to talk with you today? Let me tell you about today's guest. Let me tell you. She's automatic, systematic, full of color, self-contained, tuned and gentle to your vibe, captivating, stimulating. She's such a sexy lady, filled with space age design, because she's moving, she's grooving, dancing until the music stops now. Yeah. Rhythmatic, acrobatic. She's a dynamite attraction. At the drop of a coin, she comes alive. She knows what she's doing. She's super bad now. Geared to really blow your mind on today's show. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and welcome the model, actress, choreographer, dancer, the one and only Nicole Lee.
Hello.
Nicole Lee, the dancing machine. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Motown?
I am fabulous and happy to be talking with you. Finally, I can talk to somebody that can help me with my problem. I finally realized the issue that I'm having with women, and it's because I don't have the dance swag, and I'm hoping that maybe you can help me with that. I don't have it. Is it something that you can help me with through the phone?
I don't know if we can do that through the phone, but maybe like a private lesson or something may help.
Hey, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Because, I mean, I got swag. But I don't got that 1-2 left foot, right foot, dance step swag. You know?
Okay,
I don't have
okay.
it. But,
okay.
And I'm happy
well,
to be talking to a professional. I can learn it, and there's always hope, and that's why I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to a great person who knows the industry very well. From what I understand, you've been raised in the dance world. So, like, were you dancing right out of your womb? Would you come out, like, with some moves? I mean, was it in your spirit? How did you get into this dance world?
Actually, it does seem that way.
It's <you. laughs>
I started dancing at the age of, I think I was around 5 years old, and just took a couple classes. Mom put me in a couple classes, a couple gymnastics classes, and then I moved into the competitive world of dance from the age of 7 all the way through the age of 17, 18.
Wow.
So from there, I was dancing, I don't know, 16, 20 hours a week. I danced every day, all day, and that was my life. Dance was my life.
Wow. You ain't kin to the Jackson family, are you? Sounds like you had Joe Jackson as a parent.
No, but my parents were, you know, very disciplined with us having activities outside of school. You know, we played instruments and I was in the band and cheerleading and everything else. So they definitely kept us busy to keep our head on straight and kept us moving in a positive direction.
So were your parents the type to bring activities from the outside in the house if you didn't get your dances right? For example, maybe a twig and get you going on your footstep right? Were they that tight?
Actually, my mother was always encouraging me to practice at home, but my father definitely built a couple little dance floors in the garage for me to practice.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow. So were there peer pressure if you didn't get it right? Like, please don't get the twig, please. No, none of that?
No, there wasn't any peer pressure. They knew, you know, the minute I didn't enjoy it anymore, it was time to be done. But I always loved it, and from then on up to even now, I'm still dancing wherever I go, cartwheeling wherever I go, flopping around the house all the time, getting in the way of the TV. Like, nothing changes. Once a dancer, always a dancer.
Wow. And this has influenced your love for musicals, because you were telling me how much you love, like, The Sound of Music and The Wizard of Oz and things like that, right?
Absolutely. I've always been a fan of musicals and Broadways and just music in general, being that I play an instrument. So.
Wow. I love it. I love it. I love it. You like the Michael Jackson version of Ease On Down, Ease On Down the Road? You ain't
yeah,
you into
that?
I know. I love it. I mean, that's just a feel-good song. Whenever you feel now, you put that on, you just can't help but feel good. Don't you care is nothing that will bring a load. Woo! Anyway.
Okay,
I'm going to
make you
today.
Dance to that song.
You don't want to do that. But maybe one day, we're going to do that. Oh, man. All right, so what fascinates me is the trials that you have been through on your course to success. Now, I want you to go ahead and tell the story to the audience that's listening. At just randomly, at one point in time, you received a seizure, and you didn't know where it came from, and it could have, like, detoured your whole dancing career, correct?
That is correct. It started maybe about the beginning of my senior year in high school, with just being stressed out and the whole, there was a big homecoming scene type thing of people being jealous and trying to fight me every day, and that's like a whole nother story. But
wow.
I think that's what kind of started it. And the end of my senior year going into college, I was getting ready to go off to school in Indiana. And, you know, that's an exciting time in any senior's life, going off to school and starting a new life and a new adventure. And I was leaving to go to dance camp. And so we drove down there, or we drove to Indiana from Michigan, and got out in the parking lot, and I was actually going to camp out in California. And I got out the car, and randomly, I don't really remember what happened. I just blacked out, passed out on the floor, had a seizure, and from there started a whole nother life, a whole nother journey. And probably for the next 2 years or so, I kept having symptoms. I didn't have any more seizures, but I kept having, they call them blackout spells, where I would pretty much black out or pass out. I'm sorry, I'd pass out or faint, but I would still be conscious. And they kept me on epileptic medication for about 5 or 6 years due to one of my tests being abnormal, and that was my EEG. And I would have to get, you know, continuum blood work, continual MRIs, CAT scan, you name it. I had it all done. But probably after about 6 years, you know, I went in for my normal routine EEG, and the neurologist told me that it was absolutely normal. And I couldn't even believe what I heard, because, you know, I've been going through this for so long. And the medication, some of the side effects from the medication are like loss of coordination. Well, seeing that I'm a dancer, that is totally not what I want and not what I want to hear. But she told me it was normal. And even before then, every time I was going to get all these tests done, you know, it was being positive, everything's fine, everything's okay. Nothing deterred me from dancing. I still dance. School was a real struggle for me just because of what I was going through, but I stayed positive, and here I am today. Like, I've been healed, I don't know, it was like 6 years ago or so, and no symptoms of anything, and I'm really, really happy that everything turned out okay.
Hey, we got to clap it up for that. Clap it up. So, I mean, suffering from a seizure, that could be really be a career breaker. That could break somebody's career, not only spiritually, but just the will to continue on going. But from my understanding, that you were determined, you had extreme perseverance, you just never let it hold you down.
Definitely, never did. You know, like I said, I was getting ready to leave to go to college in another state. Like, of course, the one thing your parents might want you to do is, oh, you're not going to school out here. Mm-hmm. You're going to stay mm-hmm. right here. Because along with when you have a seizure, there's certain state guidelines that you have to follow. I think in the state of Michigan, you have to go 3 months without having a seizure until you're able to drive. I think the state of Indiana was like 6 months without having a seizure until you're able to drive. So, like, you know, that affected me driving around and everything else. But I didn't stop doing anything that I was doing. I kept pursuing everything, but I just definitely made sure I got enough rest and ate correctly and took care of myself and left time for my studies. So.
Wow. Now, I just want to get another question about this, because just the fact that you were able to go through this and continue dancing and no one recognized, anybody that you were dancing with, no one knew what you went through, correct?
Correct. There was one time in particular at camp where, like, I don't know, when you go to these camps, you learn, like, 4 to 6 routines a day, and, you know, my coach noticed that something wasn't right, and I noticed something wasn't right also, and this was right around the time I had started the medication and whatnot, and I didn't quite know what was going on, but it turns out, you know, that's what it was, the medication and just being stressed out, and nobody else knew anything.
So are you, like, fighting it back? Are you feeling, like, the fidgeting in your body when you're dancing, when you were going through this? Were you, like, fighting it at the same time?
At first, I was definitely a little scared that something would happen, like, in the middle of a performance. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, after being on the medication, I just had to trust that everything was working out fine. And if I was still able to dance, then everything was going to be fine.
Wow. So you did follow those guidelines of not driving for a period of time when this happened to you?
Oh, definitely. I had to. I didn't have a choice.
Wow. Now, you brought up a very interesting notion that you talked about, you know, the guidelines of after having a seizure, you can't drive for a period of time. Now, I want to segue into you as a choreographer, visionary. I mean, I consider myself a visionary. I get ideas. I produce videos, I do monologues, I do shows, right? Whenever I have an idea, it's not that complicated of a process for me. It doesn't matter where I am. If I'm in the shower, I got a pen and pad, you know, I might get the floor wet. I'll still reach out halfway out the shower and, you know, write down my idea. If I'm driving, you know, you're not supposed to drive and write, but, hey, I write down my idea. But what I'm trying to – hey, I know, don't tell nobody – but what I'm trying to understand is, I'm not a choreographer. You are. When you're
mm-hmm.
driving and you get an idea, how do you dance and drive at the same time so you can remember? Because that sounds really dangerous. And if, you know, that should be against the law. Do you do that?
I don't recommend it for anyone. And I don't dance while I drive. I may bob my head or two. But as far as, like, when ideas come to me, which most ideas do come to me in the car, I have to call my number one fan, which is my mother, and I have her write down what my idea is, what song it is, who the artist is, and I have her write every single thing down so that way, you know, it doesn't get lost in the universe. And with that, I keep a booklet of all of my choreography ideas. I probably have 100 different dances that I have not seen yet in my little book that I keep a secret.
Okay, so you're driving. You're on the interstate, you can't dance and remember your ideas, so you call your mom, and you're telling your mom, okay, mom, I got a dance move, write this down. I want you to gyrate your pelvic area slowly and fist pump. And, you know, I don't get that. I mean, it winds your bottom. How do you do that?
Well, it's not the dance that is choreographed that I tell her about. It's just the idea of the routine that I tell her right now. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that does seem kind of awkward to tell your mom to move certain parts of your body, you know, while you're driving and she's writing all this down. Bravo.
I would concur. I would concur. That
okay,
probably
so
won't happen.
Okay, well, I'm glad I'm getting an understanding of that. So you love dancing. Dancing has never been a favorite of mine. I'm trying to embrace it. Since I've moved to L.A., there's a lot of things that I've been trying to embrace in my life, and dancing is one of them, and it's a process. So as a lover of dancing, I can only assume you love some of the popular dancing shows that are out right now, correct?
That is correct.
Can you name a few?
I am big fans of Slay You Think You Can Dance. That would have to be number one. And I also love to watch Sing Off and Dancing with the Stars. And any show that has dance, I will sit and watch it.
So what is it the most that fascinates you about Dancing with the Stars? Is it seeing the stars dance and sometimes make a fool of themselves, or seeing them, you know, gradually grow and become better dancers, or seeing the choreographers come up with new dance moves all the time?
It would have to be watching someone grow into a dancer and watching them in their learning process, and also watching the different ideas that choreographers come up with. I absolutely love to see, you know, who came up with what this week and how they incorporated this scene. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, you know, and I think I understand why you like that, because dancing is not as restricted as it used to be. It's kind of like open to mixing of genres, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Is it possible to just create a new genre? Like, have you created a dancing genre of your own?
I have not, but it is possible. Yeah, it's possible. Anything's possible now with dance. Like, everything is mixing in everything. You got hip-hop mixing with ballet, you know, the two very opposites. You got tap mixing with, like, anything.
That is so true, because I got some mixes myself. You know, I'm thinking about mixing cha-cha, the cha-cha slide with hip-hop, you know. Maybe it's been done already. I don't know. But I think the foxtrot, Russian ballet, you know, mixing a few things together. I don't know, but I just think it would really work. You know,
you're gonna have to show this to me after, you know, you figure this out.
The stanky leg quick step, I can do it. I think so. The Dougie ballet jazz. I don't know, but we can mix it. I think so. You do the Dougie, by the way. You don't do that.
Yes, I can do the Dougie. It's not a dance that I do every day.
Oh, man. So you're in Los Angeles right now. You're pursuing your career. And it's funny, we run into each other more than once. We run into each other at an audition for a game show. And we run into each other at a network elixir recently. And it just shows how small Hollywood really is, right?
That is correct. We run into each other probably like around four times, and your face is definitely memorable. I never forget this fate of yours. So I'm glad you finally have an opportunity to talk.
Exactly. Well, thank you for remembering my face, and I'm glad that it's not my dance moves that you remembered, because you would have remembered that, but not in a positive light at all.
Oh, my goodness. You're funny.
Not in a positive light. So you're here in Los Angeles now. How long have you been here?
I've been here for just about a year and a half.
Year and a half. Now, correct. Now, from my understanding, is the reason you're here is because randomly a guy was stalking you on Facebook, and he left some comments. You reported him, but then y'all eventually started becoming friends. Right? What happened?
Well, he wasn't stalking, and I didn't report him, but he left me a nice little comment about how I looked on my on one of my pictures on Facebook. And
that's stalking. Facebook stalking. But go ahead.
I eventually messaged him back, and then, you know, we became friends and we started to converse a little bit more, and he is my future husband at this point.
Wow. Now that's something special.
Well, what happened was this. I was living in just north of Detroit, and even though he is actually from Detroit area, he uh-huh. was already living in California teaching.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
We did the long distance thing for about 2.5 years, which mm-hmm. is relatively long. And, you know, it just got too expensive. And, you know, we wanted to go ahead and start our lives together. So I moved out here. And it was probably better for me to move out here to begin my career anyway. And and we live together now, and he is my soulmate, and I love him dearly.
Wow. Now, that is a love story. That's a love story. From Facebook stalker to soulmate. That's a love story. Y'all, I'm looking at that needs to be on television. You know, they put in Kim Kardashian's whack wedding on television. You need to have this. This is something serious. I like that. So, your future plans, before we even get into your future plans, I know you have some projects that are coming up. Definitely like to talk about it. And before we talk about that, actually, it looks like, you know, the lines are blowing up and somebody wants to talk to you. So we're going to get them on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown. Maurice, you're listening to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. I got the one and only, the Cole Lee on the line. And I think that person just got scared and got off the line. They got nervous for some reason. So what we're going to do
is move right forward.
Don't be scared, you know. And tell me about some of your new projects that you got working on.
Right now I am currently working with a group of extremely talented women. We are revamping Me and My Girl, the musical, and it is for the Jewish Women's Repertory Theater. And they will be performing that show over at the Nate Holden Theater December 3rd and 4th. But this project is extremely special because all of the proceeds are donated to a charity which provides education, prevention, and intervention services for families in crisis.
That's awesome. I'm sorry to cut you off because that is what I am all about. Where can I go? How can I be there? I want to be there. This is it. I love this. This is great.
Unfortunately, you can't. The only thing you can do is donate because it is women's only. So no men allowed. We are empowering women because girls rock. Sorry, guys.
So you mean that I can't go even though I'm a strong supporter and believer, I'm just going to be left out?
No, you can donate online if you like.
This sounds kind of sexist, but no, I'm just playing. That sounds awesome. How can they find out more about it? Is there like a website?
Yeah, there is a website. You can go to JewishWomensTheater.com, and from there it'll guide you through, you know, if you want to donate through PayPal or whatnot to get more involved.
Sounds good. Well, men, donate online. Do not attend. Do not show up. You know, I asked to work the concession stand earlier, and I was denied. I want to contribute, but whatever. Anyway, this is Motown Maurice. You listen to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. I got the talented Nicole Lee on the line, and we're going to take a call right now from area code 352. What's your name, and what's your question and comment?
My name is M.D. Morris, and how you doing?
I'm doing good, Morris. How are you?
I'm doing very, very fine. I was interested when she was talking about the males being able to be involved in their women's movement. I'm thinking, like, is there any other way besides, you know what I mean, donations? Can the males actually organize some things for the females and pass it on to them and be like, okay, this, we took care of this, this is cool, or stuff like that? Can we help with the infrastructure as far as organizing fundraisers or organizing different things in other communities and stuff and bringing it forth to the project?
The guys, you can go to the website and send the director an email, and she'll definitely let you know, because she may need assistance for stage props and stage hands and whatnot, because this is a big prominent theater in the Jewish community. So that would probably be your best bet, and obviously donations and sponsorship, and or you can place an ad in the itinerary.
You can place L. You can place actual ads.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. You can place an ad in the playbill. So the pricing for the ads are also online.
Okay. And can I get that web address, though, too?
Yes, you may, Morris. It is Jewish Women's Theater. www.JewishWomen'sTheater.com.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You know, I'm always involved in the community activism type of work. That's definitely good. Okay, then.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much
for calling, Morris. We definitely appreciate it.
All right, no
Thanks,
problem.
Morris.
All right, no problem, Cole.
Okay.
Bye. All right.
That is
Sounds like somebody
Morris.
You know. Okay,
yes,
cool.
Yes, that's Morris. He's a director, producer. He does pretty much everything as well. So he's extremely talented.
Excellent. You're around talented people indeed. So tell me about your future plans. What can we expect from Nicole Lee in the future?
In the future, well, there's a couple of things that I've got going on that I'm not allowed to mention, but I would like to produce and direct my own musical/Broadway dance show. I haven't quite worked out the kinks on that yet. And also I plan to open up a franchise of studios, not now, just because my career is moving in a different direction right now, but I definitely want to open up a chain of studios and have kids and get married.
All right.
And continue to do more acting on a broader scale and choreographing on a broader scale. So that's the plan.
That is the plan. So I'm sure you're talented, you're an actress, you're a model, and of course dancing is your heart. You're often compared to somebody in the industry. Who is that person? I don't want to say who it is. Go ahead, who?
They often compare me to Debbie Allen.
Debbie Allen.
Yep.
How does that make you feel? Is that a compliment to you, or is like, hey, I'm Nicole Lee? I mean, how does that make you feel?
It is a compliment because she has achieved some extraordinary things in her life, and she is a very wonderful role model. But I am Nicole Lee. I will never be Debbie Allen. I would love to accomplish a lot of the things that she has and more. But I will never quite be Debbie Allen because I just can't. I'm Nicole Lee.
I got you. We're going to take one more call before we close out this show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown Maurice. Listen to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. Nicole Lee is on the line, and we're going to take this call from area code 586. What's your name and what's your question or comment? You're on now.
My name's Kirsten Hayes, and I just want to give a big shout-out to Miss Nicole.
Hi, Kirsten. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. This is Kirsten. She was one of my students from Michigan.
Oh, hey, Kirsten. Well,
Kirsten, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you tell me how good your choreographer, teacher, coach is? Can you tell me a little bit more?
Well, I've only had her for 2 years, and I think I've only had her for like 2 dances, but she was like really good.
There goes your endorsement right there. I love it.
Thank you so much, Kirsten. And tell your mom I said hello.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Kirsten.
Isn't that special? That is so sweet. You got them calling in all age ranges right now. That is a wonderful thing. That is a wonderful thing. Look, and speaking, so with Kirsten, is that a student that you coach, you dance? And as a coach, how important is it for you to implement, role modeling into their experience being a role model?
Well, Kirsten is one of my former students from a studio in Michigan, and it is extremely important, especially when you see the same kids every single day. Mainly the competitive kids, because, you know, they're a little bit more serious about dance, and they're there every day, kind of like I was there every day. And these are the kids that after they leave school, they come straight to you. Like, they normally don't go home and spend time with mom and dad. Like, you're with them 3-4 hours for the rest of the evening every single day, and it's extremely imperative to be a role model, because you're not only teaching them how to dance, but you're teaching them, you know, how to carry themselves and their etiquette, and how to be other role models to the next generation.
Yeah. I once heard a karate teacher that said that kids and students that take karate are much more behaved in school. Do you feel the same way about kids that take dance choreography?
I definitely concur. I think when you're in any type of discipline activity, it teaches you discipline for other walks of life.
Well, you know what? I'm making it your mandate right now to drop some dance studios in the hood. You need to drop some off of Crenshaw Boulevard. You know what I mean? You got to get that going. Let's go. We need more dance studios in the hood. We need them all across America. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Nicole Lee on the line. Go ahead and plug your website. Let them know how they can find you. What's the best way to reach you?
You can reach me via email or my website at about.me/Nicole Lee, and that is pretty much it. I think that's all you asked, wasn't it?
Well, go ahead and plug the website one more time.
About.me/Nicole Lee. Pretty easy to remember, about.me/Nicole Lee. I'm not a rapper, but, you know.
I know. You got some rhyme going right there. You got a new career ahead of you. Nicole, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you. This has been very delightful and insightful for me, and I'm sure that everybody that listens feels the same way. So hopefully I can have you back again in the future.
Hopefully. Definitely. I would love to come back.
Okay, but before that happens, I do have one question to ask you. Can you handle one more question for me, please?
Absolutely.
Nicole Lee, my question is, who is the future of late-night television?
I can't even believe you're asking me this question. The future of late-night television is definitely Motown Maurice.
I love it. Thank you so much, Nicole. You are the best. I really appreciate you. Please continue to keep me posted with all your success. And let's definitely schedule a dance session in the future, because, yeah, it's not looking too good for me out here with the ladies. I need to get my 1-2-step right.
Will do.
All right. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being a guest.
Thank you, Motown.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. That was Nicole Lee, the automatic, systematic dancing sensation. Yes, she's a choreographer, actress, and model. There's so much about her that I didn't even get a chance to address. Yes, she's an actress. Yes, she's a model. She is super talented, and she is holding it down, making things happen. Make sure you check her out at about.me/Nicole Lee. This is Motown Maurice. Thank you for listening to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. Check out my blog. Check out my quest, the Motown Maurice Experience. That's MotownMaurice.com. That's once again MotownMaurice.com, the quest of a late night talk show host. Until next time, be blessed. God bless. Take care.